Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. We are your hosts, Amy Ravel and Kirsty Fruger, and it is a lovely afternoon to be podcast recording all about treasure hunting, Kirst.
Yes, it is. When I mentioned treasure hunting, what came up in your mind? Just like, what's the first thing that you thought of? It doesn't have to be in regards to decluttering and organising.
I had a couple of thoughts. One was like, sitting on a tropical island mm-hmm. and just relaxing, but that just could be because we're busy at the moment.
We haven't had proper holiday in years
2 years
because of COVID.
And I also thought about what a lot of clients say to us is I'm a bit of a treasure hunter, and what they really mean is I go through people's hard rubbish trying to find things that are salvageable. So they were the two things that came to my mind. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely thought tropical island. And
we were dreaming
with, you know, Scrooge McDuck playing with his money.
So hang on. Now we're treasure hunting and the treasure's actually worth is just cash.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm coming on that holiday.
And obviously because I suggested the topic, I thought of all of our clients who get super excited when they find treasure.
And what kind of treasures are you thinking? Treasures in their homes or treasures that they bring into their homes?
Oh, no, treasures in their home. Like, right, so when they find their lost passport or their necklace that their husband gave them and they thought they'd lost, or, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think there's a couple of lines that we can take this episode down, and we'll see how many of them we get to. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about going treasure hunting in amongst your own stuff to find the treasure.
Yeah, I really want to encourage people to view the decluttering process as you can be hunting for the treasure, you know, and you can find the things that are really worthy of you giving honor in your home, and really looking for the things that bring you real joy.
Mm.
So I would really love to encourage listeners to view decluttering as an exercise in treasure hunting, in looking for the gold in your home, and not necessarily viewing everything as gold in your home, but thinking about looking for the things that you have lost, but also really identifying what is worthy of having a place of honor in your home, and what are the real treasures, the things that you really would love to keep, and you really want to display, or that have got sentimental value, rather than, oh, everything is treasure worthy and everything, I need to keep everything. But also, like, you know, if you have lost your passport, or if you have lost a necklace, like, be on the lookout when you're decluttering and use that as a encouragement to start the decluttering process.
I think, Kirst, when you look at your possessions and you start the decluttering process and you look at it all as a whole, if you look at it all like a big forest, it is really hard to make the decisions of like what of this can go when it's all an equal playing field. Mm-hmm. And so if you find it really difficult to let go of things, instead, all you aim to do in decluttering is find the treasures, and everything else is automatically donate or rubbish. And so sometimes I'll do this with kids. You know how when there's those random toys in every kid's playroom, it's like some Macca's toy and some random thing a kid gave them for their birthday, but it doesn't match in any set. It's not played with. And you have like the basket of randos.
Yeah. Can we just clarify for our overseas listeners what Macca's is?
Oh, McDonald's. And I was like, Kirst, they have McDonald's around the world, but they probably don't call it Macca's. So it's all those just bits and pieces. And so when you have a basket of that for kids, rather than saying, what in here do you want to keep? What do you want to let go of? I'll often say, can you see any treasures in here? And so really all they're doing is you're on the lookout for the things that are actually important, and then you just get rid of the rest. Like it makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I love the joy that we see on our clients' faces when they do find those treasures, like particularly the lost
yeah.
treasures. Like when they do find that earring that they thought had disappeared, or the necklace that their mum gave them before she passed away,
mm-hmm.
or that passport that they've just renewed, just got a
no longer a treasure because you don't need it anymore.
Or they'd been putting off applying for that new passport because they knew it was somewhere in the house, or their marriage certificate, or their, you know, a loved family member's death certificate,
yeah.
Or the order of service from their mum's funeral, like things that are really special to particular people. I love finding that.
Because it can get lost amongst the clutter, can't it?
100%. And that's why we are so particular here at the Art of Decluttering, of actually going through paperwork in particular,
yeah.
but actually giving everything a good look through, because it is in particularly in paperwork is where the treasures lie.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They get lost because you've put your passport on top of the pile and you're like, that is safe right there. And then somebody else comes along and puts their paperwork on top of it. And then you scoop up all that paperwork and chuck it in a box or a basket, put it in the spare room, thinking that you'll go back and look through it later. And it's been 10 years.
Yeah, and we should clarify, the treasures are few and far between.
100%. That's why they're called treasures.
You've got to go looking for them. I find that this method of decluttering, which is like find the treasure rather than sift through the sand, is really helpful in a wardrobe when someone looks at a wardrobe and they say, I don't like any of my clothes. And what people are tempted to do then is like, well, I'll just go buy new clothes. But instead, if you say to people, pull out the 5 items that you feel really good in, that is sometimes easier than can you find 5 items that we can get rid of. So sometimes you just need to flip decluttering on its head and say, what books will I read again and then everything else can go. What cookbooks will I use again? Everything else can go. What shoes will I wear again? Everything else can go. It can be a really helpful way of decluttering when you kind of feel a bit stuck. You just take a different tact with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do we want to talk about your version of treasure hunting?
Yeah, let's talk about the potential. Roadside scavenging. We call it aspirational clutter a lot because it's when you wander up and down the street and you see your neighbor's old coffee table and you saw some friend that sanded down a coffee table and painted it with chalkboard paint or did something pretty to it and you think, oh, I'll do that. And you bring it home and it's aspirational and you think you've gone treasure hunting, that actually all you've done is you've gone hunting and bought a crap home. How do we want to encourage people, Kirst, to really take the time to assess, is this treasure or not?
Mm, I do think that it's really tempting and really, really tempting to pick that up, you know, for a bargain or, you know, to be scrolling Facebook Marketplace and just see an awesome bargain and buy it. Mm-hmm. And in those circumstances, you can be really intentional. And even with roadside collections, you can definitely be intentional, and I would say though that sometimes we get into that poverty mindset or lack mindset where we're like, oh, we must get this now because if I don't take it from the side of the road right now, somebody else, the next person driving behind me is going to take it because it's such a good fill in the blank.
Yeah, and I'll never have another opportunity to get that fill in the blank.
And so it's fine. There's always grace. There's always kindness that we want you to extend to yourself if you do take that home right there and then. And I would encourage you that before you actually bring it into your home or into your shed or, you know, into a space, just leave it in the garage or in the carport and just then take the time to be intentional. And this is what we say if you are, you know, if you're scrolling Facebook Marketplace and you see a bargain, like be really thoughtful. Do I have the capacity right now? Do I have the capacity? Can I foresee that in the next really short term, in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, I am going to have the capacity, the energy, the inspiration, the creativity, the drive, the enthusiasm to actually get this project done or to actually use this piece of whatever for its intended and my intended purpose. And being really, just imagine Amy and I there, right, right there with you going, really? Are you really sure that you're going to do that project? Are you really sure that that is the, that your home is the best place for this to end up? Or could it serve somebody else more? Or could it serve my roadside collection more?
Yes, I was talking to a client the other day who rang to make an inquiry and he was saying that he called himself a treasure hunter. And I said to him, do you mean roadside collection? And he said, yes. And I said to him, what's your track record of doing up the projects that you bring, or is your garage full of items that you're going to restore? And there was like this silence and he goes, oh, you busted me. And then we booked a session. He got rid of so much because he was like, what's my track record? 0 for 1 million. Okay, I'm not going to get to these. And I said to him, like, why don't you keep the one that you really want to do? And if you actually do it, how good are you going to feel? And if you haven't done it in 6 months, get rid of that one too.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a client this morning on a very similar conversation about UFOs around her crafting and sewing. And you know, we've had these conversations. Go and listen to our episode called Aspirational Clutter. And our craft and hobbies episode is another good one where we talk about this concept of really questioning yourself. I said to this beautiful client of mine, really want you to consider, are you actually going to do that project and set aside your money mindset around this. Set aside your wishfulness and aspirational part of you, because I think that there's lots of parts of us. There is that money perspective where we are like, but I spent a lot of money to get that crafting material or those crafts, or I spent a lot of money buying that thing on Marketplace. I really should use it, because if I don't, then that's just being bad to my previous self who thought I would use that. Being bad is the wrong way to describe it, but you all know what I mean. And set aside the guilt and, you know, the potential guilt and the potential shame that you might choose to pour on yourself around that object, and decide, am I actually going to do this project? Is it reasonable to expect that of me in the next couple of months? And do I even like that project anymore? That may have been a past self that wanted to be a crocheter or a, you know, cross stitcher. That was, or I wanted to be that person. That's that whole episode, aspirational clutter. It's all about that person.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about another aspect of treasure hunting, and that is when you think that perhaps items in your home have commercial value, like what you think might be an antique or something that's come over with your great-grandma from when they came over from Hungary on the ship. That can be a really tricky roadblock for decluttering when you feel like you need to get a treasure hunter into your home. You actually need someone to come in, do a bit of treasure hunting through all your things and tell you, this is worth $100, this is worth $40, this is worth $300. It's a really, really tricky place to be. Kirst, give us some advice. What do we say to our clients, and what do we want our listeners to think of when they're stuck wanting a treasure hunter?
I think you do have to weigh up, again, do I have the capacity at this point in time to find the right valuer, to get them to come into my home? Is this important enough for me to get that valuation? And am I actually going to kick myself for letting something go that was worth a lot of money if I never know about it? And even if I do find out about it, that piece is now worth $5,000. How do I balance that up with the freedom and the joy I felt by not having that piece of furniture in my home or that thing, whatever that thing is? So, and it is, look, and I'm not disputing that people have grown up with lack, and that is a really strong undercurrent for a lot of people. You may still be in lack. You may still not have the money that you need to feel secure and safe. And so please don't mishear us, that we want to acknowledge that, and that's, we're sorry that you're in that situation. But there is a lot of inherited lack and inherited mindset around lack and being wasteful and not valuing things like I used to in my day, in case you're hearing your grandparents or your parents speaking to you.
I think that that's true, Kirsty, is so much of it's based on, but my mum told me this was valuable. And unless your mum is an antique dealer, her opinion of its value is possibly not worth very much. I would say find an antique dealer or find a coin dealer or whoever it is that will allow you to take photos and email it to them. Mm-hmm. That's a really quick way of being able to get a valuation and just send through the photos and say, is any of this worth your interest? And if it is, my biggest advice, and I've had clients use an auction house, is take whatever price they offer you. Don't shop around trying to get someone else to take a higher value and this and that and the other. Let me tell you a story, Kirst, of your podcast co-host who thought she had an antique once. I was given what we thought was a hand-carved stone flower from China. And when it was given to me, I was told that it was a really high value.
That's the story you were told. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really high value. And this would be something I could keep and then sell and blah, 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 blah. So I kept this thing. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Ugliest thing ever. I am never going to display a stone-carved flower in my house, but whatever. I kept it for probably 30 years, maybe 25 years. And then I decided this is ridiculous once I became a professional organizer, and I started carting that stupid thing around to antique dealers. And the first one I went to, this is like before you could do like send a photo through. Mm-hmm. The first one was like, oh, there's lots of these around. It's probably worth $40. I'll give you $40 for it. And they would sell it for, say, $100. And I was like, no, I was told it was worth more than that. And so I lugged it around to another antique dealer and made phone calls and And in the end, I threw it in the bin. Because it drove me so bonkers. And then I was like, is it
worth... And you spent way more than $40 of
your
time.
Oh, my gosh, so much more. So I'd spent time Googling it. I'd spent time looking on eBay. I'd spent time trying... Like, it was just ridiculous. And then I just got rid of it in the end. I think maybe I sent it to the op shop, but I definitely didn't sell it. What I would have been better off doing if I really did want to sell it is when I got to that first antique shop and they said, I'll give you $40, I'd say, show it to me. Here's the thing. That is what I would recommend for people is as soon as you've got someone that will buy it, offload it. All you need is one person ready to buy it. Let them have it.
That's what the capital market is all about.
Explain further.
Well, it's only... value is of the person who is willing to buy it.
Right there and then.
Like my house, I can think that my house is worth $2 million, but until somebody shows me the money, it's worth nothing.
And other that's than the story
what
of
I'm
antiques.
Paying off to the bank.
Yeah. Yep. It's only worth what it's worth to you because you don't have to live in another house.
Yes. And I think that there's two parts to antiques is that there is the monetary value, but there's also the sentimental value. But if nobody knows the story, then I would encourage you to think about, is it like how much sentimentality do I have to place on this? Yeah. So, you know, ring around your cousins, ring around your aunties and uncles or your nieces and nephews and see or, you know, take a photo and put it in a family WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger group and say, does anybody else know the story of this? And does anybody else like it? Because I do not want to be the storehouse of all these antiques that nobody even likes and is going to be taken away with my body.
There's a real grieving process, I think, when you realize that the things you were keeping that you've stored and kept and moved house with 15 times and were told that great-grandma's silver is worth something and then you find out it's worth nothing and you've been lugging it around for half your life. There is a process where you're like, I'm really sad about that. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't just donate the silver to the op shop. I actually saw a cool post on Facebook the other day from the nursing home just down my street asking if anyone had any old silver because some of the residents quite liked shining the silver.
Mm-hmm. And that polishing
was like,
it?
Yeah, polishing it was like one of their recreational activities as they gave them all polishing cloths and silver and then talked I was like, oh, mm-hmm. that's the cutest. That's such a lovely thing that would take them back to their childhoods. That's the value in the silver, not the fact that you could take it to a metal collector's and get $4 for it.
Yeah, and that's why if you have something that is of great import to you, write the story, tell the story, tell your family the story of why this is important. You know, I'm sure I've shared this before, but my mum and dad have recently retired and they're being grey nomads around Australia trying to avoid COVID wherever they go, literally running out, like escaping out of states that have COVID. That's what I mean by avoiding COVID. And before they packed up and completely downsized to a camper van, they wrote the stories of their important treasures, and they were not necessarily monetarily important. They were sentimentally important to them.
Yeah.
And so one of them was like a wicker basket, and somebody may or may not want that, but we may want it more because we know why mum was sentimentally attached to that, rather than looking at a wicker basket that admittedly has lasted 40 years. So it's a pretty good basket. And like not valuing it for the sake of how much it costs or how much we're going to get for it, but actually valuing it for the story that it tells our family.
Mm,
mm. And so, yeah, if you got sentimentality towards a piece of furniture, then give that honour and find a space in your home for it rather than it sitting in the shed collecting dust.
Make it a treasure.
Frustrating you because you have to be the treasure holders of all this thing for your extended family, and you know that, you know, you've been told somewhere along the line that this has actually got value. Again, things are only valuable in the marketplace when somebody wants to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Talking of treasure hunting.
Mm.
Well, you and I have been treasure hunting the last 2 months.
We have, and we have turned up absolute gold.
Absolute gold. Listeners, in the last couple of months, the art of decluttering has expanded into Perth, Queensland, and Gippsland in regional Victoria. And we've been
We've expanded our teams in Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. We've been treasure hunting for the best professional organisers, and we have found them and we have gathered them. We've done the hunting and the gathering for you. So if you're in Perth, if you're in the Central Highlands in Queensland, if you're in Greater Sydney or Sydney and Melbourne and Greater Melbourne and Gippsland, our treasures, our professional organisers and declutter coaches are super, super excited to come out and serve you guys. We're seeing 40 to 50 clients a week at times. Like, we are so, so excited for what we get to do. And we want to be your treasure hunting pirates and come and help you. Are pirates the baddies? They're the baddies, aren't they?
We want to be partners in treasure hunting.
There you go. That's better.
And we want to come alongside you and help to encourage you to sift through the dross for the gold that is in your home and in your head and in your heart.
Kest, I love treasure hunting with you. Let's keep treasure hunting for podcast episodes, for clients that we can help, for staff that we can release. And if you, listener, are looking to do some treasure hunting, you might want to scroll back in your podcast feed even, and listen to another episode. We've got a bank of like a bajillion episodes. And so if you're feeling like you need some podcast treasure, just scroll back, pick one at random and enjoy learning about decluttering in a different way.
We've had a few people in our Facebook community recently who have gone back to the very beginning and started listening and have found gold and are asking us questions that I can't remember the answer to because it was 4.5 years ago.
I know, people are so lovely that I think our memories are that good. They're not.
They are. You remember where so-and-so client has put her mug that she got the first Mother's Day that her son was at school.
Yes.
So don't tell me that your memory is bad, my
friend. I just remember the important things.
Weird.
I have to have touched
memory.
It. Yeah, it's a kinetic memory. So because it's just not a verbal memory.
Because if I ask you what you did yesterday and who you spoke to, no, you've got nothing for me.
No, nothing.
But you know where that Mother's Day mug is from 2001.
Exactly. Unique humans we are.
We are.
Listeners, it's been cool hanging out with you again this week. Let's do it again next week. And if you've got any episode topics that you'd like us to cover, just pop into our Facebook community page and just let us know. Or you can email us at hello@theartofdecluttering.com.au.
We will see you next week.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom. We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.